Learning Michtav Mediyahu, Volume 1, the essay which is titled Tzadik V'Ralo, starts on page 19. We started this last class, and we brought the following question. Right, everyone knows that a person through his good deeds merits the world to come. And this is the essential world, the real world, the permanent world, is the world to come. However, there are many people who think that this world is also a world. It's also a world. And therefore, and moreover, they think that even a person who has it very pleasant in this world can still merit the world to come. As he'll do mitzvahs, he'll be a good person, he'll do good deeds, and it'll be good for him in this world, and he will merit through his good deeds in this world. While experiencing the pleasantness of this world, he'll also merit the world to come. However, the question is as follows: what about those people who don't have a pleasant life, who have a very difficult life? They suffer tremendous difficulties. How come is it that one person can have it easy in this world, one person goes well for him in this world, and another person goes very difficult for him in this world? He suffers all sorts of problems, whether it's financial, whether it's health, whether it's with children, whatever it is, all types of troubles, all types of problems. And it doesn't seem to be fair. It doesn't seem to be fair. What's the difference between A and B? So someone whose faith is a whole faith, has a full faith, says, well, Hashem runs the show and he knows what he's doing. So I trust Hashem knows what he's doing the right thing. However, not everyone is willing to say that. Not everyone is willing to, even if they say it, they don't always believe what they're saying. They say, yeah, Hashem's running the show, but, you know, that still bothers them. And the problem is especially a problem when a problem becomes an especial problem if it's the person who's suffering himself that has this question. How come I have such a raw deal? I keep Torah and mitzvahs, and I'm a good person, I do good deeds. How come I have it so badly? How come I'm suffering so much? So the answer to the problem is the following teaching, a very well teaching. The teaching we know, the certain emphasis I just want to bring out from the last class that's going to color this a certain way, and then we'll go on with Rav Dessler's essay. The teaching is as follows. The teaching says this world resembles the corridor before the world to come. Right, prepare yourself in the corridor so that you will enter the hall, the banquet hall. There's a banquet hall, which is the world to come. And that's where everything is good and everything is fine. It's the world of reward. It's the world of eternity, the world of goodness. And this world is the corridor which leads to the world to come. And the point here is that this world is only a corridor to the world to come. In other words, that's the only function of this world. This world is only to serve as a corridor. That's all it's for. The whole purpose of this world is only to be a corridor for the world to come and nothing else. We brought also in last week's class the analogy of this primitive villager who did a favor for the king. And the king said he's going to reward him, he's going to put him in his storerooms, and he can, with sacks, empty sacks, and he can fill up the sacks with treasures, with gold and silver and precious stones and gems and all sorts of artworks, etc. He has the whole day to fill up the sacks. But this villager was a very simple person, didn't understand what they were saying to him. And he thought he was being punished. They threw him into this dungeon, this dark room, and they gave him these sacks, and they said, fill up the sacks. So he was not only being punished, but they were giving him hard labor. So therefore he decided that, but then he looked around, he saw that they'd left him alone, the guards had gone. And he was all by himself. So he said, if there aren't any guards, so then he's not going to do the work. He's going to go to sleep. So he arranged the sacks into a nice bedding, and he lay himself down, and he spent the day schlafing. At the end of the day, he thought, still it might look bad, I didn't put anything in the sacks. So he put a few things in the sacks, and suddenly the time was up, and they sent him off. And he was very happy with himself because he said, wow, if I would have filled up the sacks, look how much weight I would have to be schlepping now. Right? They told me to take the sacks with me. So it's a good thing I didn't fill up the sacks. I don't have this tremendous weight. I've got something very light to carry. And that was his thinking until finally he reached his family and friends and they told him what an idiot he was and that how he'd missed this golden opportunity. And of course the message is that this simple villager is us, that we come into this world and we have opportunities to fill up our sacks with mitzvahs, with good deeds, with Torah, with prayer, with chesed. And we laze around, we take it easy, we do the work reluctantly. And in the end, we end up leaving. When we finally go home, we go off with empty sacks. Okay, on page 20, the last paragraph starts with the words, V'roi listakel v'inyan ze lamik po yoseh. It's fitting to look into this matter and to think deeply into it. Right, this maybe is a concept we're familiar with, but we're not connected enough with it. We have to connect with the idea. We have to think deeply into it and connect with the idea. The whole content, the whole idea of this world is that it's only a corridor to the world to come. That's all. That's the only function. And it's not a separate world. It's not even a world. It's not really a world. It just looks like a world, but it's not a world. This is not a world. Someone who builds himself a corridor without building a hall at the end of the corridor has built nothing. Imagine you build a house and the builder builds the corridor and then he stops. So you don't have anything. You can't live in a corridor, right? That's not a house. A house with a corridor. But the corridor doesn't lead anywhere. There's no room. It's just you get to the end of the corridor, you open the door and there's a field there. There's just a big backyard there. Right? So obviously someone who builds a palace, which is only a corridor without the palace, without the banquet hall, so he has nothing. He gam prosde enen. It's not a corridor. A corridor that doesn't lead anywhere is not a corridor. It's a corridor to what? To nothingness. So it's not a corridor. Kein oylam azeh kula. So it is this entire world. Whatever happens to us in this world, whatever happens is also part of the corridor. All the things that happen to us in our lives, all of this is only according to what we need in order to enter the world to come. Whatever makes an impression in our souls, whatever affects our lives around us, whatever we're able to feel, whatever we're sensitive to, whatever we're able to see or to hear, whatever, any of the input that affects our lives, that makes up the content of our lives, anything that you hear or see or smell, whatever it is, whatever you feel, whatever you experience, all of it has been measured and weighed out with an exact measurement. Anything we experience in our day has been decreed from the heavens and been sent to us specifically with a very precise prescription. Right? In other words, if you hear a certain sound, so they already worked out in the heavens exactly how many decibels you're going to hear and how long the sound will go on for, how many seconds, how many milliseconds is going to be the sound and what effect it's going to have on you. All of this is exactly measured out. And it's all of it is measured according to this goal, which is the central goal, which is the only goal, that we should merit the world to come. If Hashem is very angry with a certain person and he punishes him very harshly, if there's a certain person who suffers tremendous punishments, this is not for Hashem. When Hashem sends punishment to an individual, it's not for the sake of Hashem. It's not because he's angry, he needs to calm himself down, so he's going to give us a few claps. Right? It's not for him, Shem Yisrael al Arosha, where he's furious with a wicked person. Because when we do mitzvahs, we're not doing him any favors. Our mitzvahs don't add anything to Hashem. He doesn't need our mitzvahs. You can't possibly, right? You're not adding anything to Hashem, right? When a 4-year-old does a scribble on a piece of paper and he brings it to his parents, he says, look at this masterpiece I made for you. So, of course, they say thank you very much, and they smile at him, and maybe they give him a cookie. But, you know, then they throw it in the garbage. I mean, what are they going to do with it? They've already got 500 of these masterpieces. Just don't have any more space for them. So the same thing, when you do mitzvahs, you're not doing anything for Hashem. You're not adding to Hashem. You can't add to Hashem. You're not doing any. And similarly, when we sin, we're not harming Him. It doesn't hurt Him. It doesn't benefit Him. It doesn't hurt Him. And this is a posuk. It's a posuk in Iyod. In Chatasa Matifal Boy. If you have sinned, what have you done to Him? Right? Nothing. Im tzedakto matiten lo, and if you're a big tzaddik, so what have you given him? Also nothing. You don't really. He doesn't need it. Not for him. La Hashem mitzvah meitiv la'atzmoi. The one who guards the mitzvahs is benefiting himself. Right? When we do mitzvahs, when we do good deeds, we're doing it for ourselves. Vimiechten, if we're sinning, la'atzmo yero, and if we're sinning and doing harmful things, we're hurting ourselves. We are the ones who benefit from our good deeds. We are the ones who suffer from our misdeeds. So therefore, the entire relationship is as follows. Harizeh mamish, next paragraph. Harizeh mamish kumo harav v'hatalmid. The relationship between us and Hashem is exactly like the teacher with a student. The teacher with a student. Hashem lo yilmad hanar yazik la'atzmoy. If the youth, if the student doesn't learn, he's hurting himself. But if he fails his exams, and he doesn't get his degree, and he doesn't pass, and he doesn't graduate, so that doesn't affect the teacher. The teacher still gets his salary at the end. Right? So he gets the same salary at the end of the year. It doesn't affect him. Shishai lebli das. The student is hurting himself, that he remains without that knowledge. He came to school. He didn't absorb anything. He didn't learn anything. He wasn't interested. And he entered with nothing. And he came in with nothing. He left with nothing. And if the teacher does become angry and rebukes the student, the function is to stand him up, to educate him. If the teacher shows anger to the student, it's in order to direct him, in order to guide him. You're making a mistake, you're wasting your time. And I'm trying to help you for yourself, not for myself. In Gam Yasses HaTalmid, even if he punishes the child, he punishes the student, Ha'atzel, he punishes a lazy student, Ein Ze Ele Lelamdei Kiyasim Lelvovo Lelimudei Uyeitivloi. It's only in order to teach him that he should take his lessons seriously, he should take it to heart, and it should benefit him, that he should gain a benefit. The Famim Yichas HaRav Miyuysa Atzmei Kasan Betivu. Now, sometimes a teacher will become angry because he is a type of angry person. He's got he's a very hot-tempered person, hot-headed. Al kazeh neemar, about such a situation, it says, lo yakapdun melamed. So it says an angry person cannot be a teacher. He should actually not, they shouldn't use him as a teacher if he's an angry person. El tzaychat rav ledaktek harbe. Rather, the teacher has to be very exacting, velishko etiv, and weigh carefully. Shelo yisrai boikas lepochus v'loyise mimida nitzeches leteilus atalmid. He has to be careful to not show anger, not more nor less from the correct measure, which will benefit the students. So that's instructions for a teacher. Ve'im v'bnei adam kach, and if that's true for people, lo kol sheken hakodesh bochu. So isn't that all the more so Hashem? Hashem does not get angry. He shows us anger. That he never becomes angry. It's a difference. When Hashem hands out punishment, it's measured with exactness, with total precision. Which is exactly as it's needed. And it's all for the purpose to draw a person closer to tshuva, and the service of Hashem. In other words, by Hashem, He is the perfect educator, and therefore He gives us exactly, if He is rebuking us, so it's the relationship of teacher with student. Hashem is playing the role of teacher to try and help us to do tshuva, and trying to educate us to do the service of Hashem. And that's the entire purpose, that's the whole purpose, the way that He shows us anger is only for our benefit. And moreover, he knows how to measure it. We can't say, you know, Hashem is hot-headed. Hashem is an unbalanced, emotionally disturbed teacher who's got his own issues. Right? His wife shouted him this morning, now his students have to suffer. Right? So therefore, we don't say that about Hashem. So therefore, if we receive a measure of punishment, so then we have to understand it's for our benefit. It's as it would be for the benefit of a student. Amnam, tzarich ledas, however, we need to know, ki ha-yisurim hem siyata dishmaya. Any afflictions a person suffers are heavenly help. This is it's heavenly help. It's like a medication, a prescription. Asher behem yisaya kodesh bochu osonu liskarev elav yisborach. That with them, with these yisurim, these afflictions, Hashem is helping us to come closer to Him. Actually helping us to come closer to Him. However, He does not remove from him the possibility of free choice. Now, Hashem sends afflictions, but the afflictions don't force you to make the right decisions. This is important. He doesn't take away our free choice. He sends us afflictions for our benefit, but we still have free choice. Even though the afflictions are measured out, and they match exactly, they're a perfect match for what we need to learn. Nevertheless, the lesson itself depends on us. As the teacher can be the perfect teacher, but the student still has to do his share. Right? He can help him, gives him extra time. He gives him extra assistance, he gives him extra material to read, or he gives him maybe cassettes or whatever it is. But still, the student has to do his share. Right? So therefore, the Hashem sends us messages, or He sends us afflictions to try and train us in a certain way, to guide us in a certain way. But the absorbing of the lesson is totally dependent on us. Whether we choose to absorb the lesson, we receive the lesson. But whether we choose to absorb the lesson or not is totally dependent on our free choice. And if we want, we can just close our eyes and harden our necks, right? Harden our stubbornness, just become stubborn. Right? You know, you take the letter came in the mail, you take it straight from the postman and you drop it straight in the garbage, right? Okay, thank you very much, you say to the mailman, and then you drop it in the garbage, you don't even look. So that's our choice. We can choose to totally ignore the messages we're receiving, and we're not interested, and we're stubborn, and this is the way we're doing it. We're inflexible. This is who I am. This is how I live my life. Don't tell me what to do. Don't tell me to change. You change. I'm okay. You're not okay. Right? And then such a person has complaints. Why am I suffering? But the problem is by him. The problem is not with the situation. The problem is not with the world. The problem is with his own stubbornness, with his own inflexibility. And about this, the verse says, again, we have a verse here, a classical verse, and this exactly is the intention of the verse. The verse says, Yeshorim Darkei Hashem, the ways of Hashem are straight. Hashem's ways, He treats us in a very straight, open, honest, direct way. Yeshorim Darkei Hashem, Tzadikim Yelchuvom, and therefore the Tzadikim walk along their ways. You open up a highway in front of a person. So you say, right, start walking, right? Oh, there's a highway. You start walking along the highway. What's the problem? The directions are clear. The highway is clear, nice and smooth. Tzadikim yelchubom. The ways of Hashem are straight. The tzadikim walk on those ways. The yilmadu tzedik, and they learn to improve themselves. They learn to act in righteous ways. They learn to work on themselves. Upoishim, with those who are negligent, those who are willful, those who are arrogant and inflexible, Ela sheyivchu lifshoya, these who choose to sin, these who choose to ignore Hashem's help, yikashlubam, so they stumble. The same root, which is a smooth path for the tzaddik, becomes a stumbling. The whole thing, he just keeps falling, right? Because he says this road's no good. This road's no good. It's full of potholes, and I keep falling, and every minute I'm falling, and I've already broken my leg, and I've broken my hands. Moisim drachim atzman. They're walking on the same road. It sounds amazing. Two people walk on the same road. One person says, "Yeah, how was the route? Fine, clear, no problem." The other one says, "No, this was terrible. It was, you know, it's full of thorns and thistles and thorns. I couldn't make any progress at all. That's no good. It's the road's no good. These roads are shocking." Now, we're dealing up with other issues here to see the entire idea in its whole. So, new question. So, he asks now, and why sometimes do we see that there's a Rosh who has it good in this world, a wicked person, a willful, wicked person who has a wonderful life in this world, everything goes well for him. This also is clear, simple and clear. Because my yaseh rav betalmid sheigam hika vebatzua lo yoyilu. What does a teacher do with a student that even though he hits him and he beats him, it doesn't help? Well, sometimes you have such a student, you've punished him and you've beaten him and you've deprived him and you're not giving him pocket money and you've given him every type of punishment and nothing helps. Nothing. You can't move him, you can't budge him. Certainly he's not punishing without any benefit. If the punishment doesn't have any benefit, so why punish him? It's not helping him. So, you know, it's not working. So therefore he's not going to punish him if it's not going to help. So he stops the punishment. Right. On the contrary, such a teacher sees that if he's going to punish him more, right, the student who doesn't receive punishment, he's totally, totally willful, totally stubborn. So then the teacher sees that if I'm going to punish him more, yakshe aza talmid es arpo, he's going to become more stubborn. Right, for Yosef Lori, he's going to become more evil. So therefore, there's no point in punishing. On the contrary, it's negative. It's not beneficial. So the only thing that remains to the teacher in such a case is to expel him. Okay, leave the school. We can't work with you. You're not prepared to listen to us. You know, we punish you. It doesn't help. So you expel such a student. You expel him. And that's terrific. Now he can spend his day in the park. Yeah, he can spend it on the streets, street corner. But nevertheless, the school doesn't want him anymore. Right? However, they don't do this immediately. It's, you know, the schools don't just expel students, you know, three every week, right? It wouldn't be nothing left in the school, right? This is not done immediately. Rather, they wait. Maybe he'll still change his ways. In other words, they stop the punishment. Things go back to normal. No punishment. Things go back to normal. Come back to classes. Keep going. And maybe there'll be a change. Maybe there'll be a change. They have a certain time that they're prepared to wait for him. B'meshech hazman. They give him a certain time before they expel him. After he's filled his measure, right? There's a concept of a measure, right? When you load a donkey, so at a certain point, if you add one more straw, it breaks his back. Yeah, right? The straw that broke the donkey's, right? So the same thing. We give him a chance, and okay, he abuses his privileges, but he's still got a certain amount of privileges. We're still giving him more chances, until he's used up all of his chances. In other words, there was a period of punishment that didn't help. Then we let him off the hook, and everything went fine for him. And he had the chance to make amends. But then he doesn't make amends. So he uses up his chances, right? He's got, let's say, a number of chances, whatever it is. And then once he used up his chances, then that's it. So then they kick him out. Right? Once he's filled his measure, and it's clear that he's not going to repent, he's not going to change his ways. So then the teacher decides, with great pain, to reject him completely, pushes him away with two hands. So that's it. It's over. So this is exactly the way Hashem acts with a wicked person. The kenkas of Rashi is all, Beishis. Right, this is what Rashi brings in Bereshis by Yaakov and Esav. So Yaakov stole the brachas from Esav, and the bracha you see it was Yitn Lecholakim. So Yitzhak gave the blessing to Yaakov, and the blessing was Yitn Lecholakim. May Hashem give you, but the name used there is the name Elokim. Elokim means attribute of justice. Din. So Elokim will give you, which means Bedin Imro Yilecha Yitzen. Right? According to the rule, if you deserve it, you'll receive it. It's bedin. If it's deserving, you deserve to receive this help, this goodness, this prosperity, this wealth, etc. So bedin imro yulecha, it's fitting. You're going to use it properly. We can trust you. We can trust you with these resources. Yitzen, he'll give it to you. V'im lav, and if not, lo yitzen lecha. And if not, you don't deserve it. You won't receive it. That's called yitzen lecha Elokim. Now, there are many people who say this. You say these psukim on Moitzi Shabbos because there are many, many wonderful brachas there. But we have to be deserving of it. They're wonderful brachas if you deserve it. That was the bracha Yaakov received. But what did he say to Esav? Esav said, I also want a bracha. Give me also a bracha. Avla Esav omar mishmane oritz ye moishavecho. Your dwelling will be of the fatness of the earth. Your dwelling will be the richness of the earth. Which means, regardless, your dwelling will be the richness of the earth. Ben tzaddik, ben rosha. Whether you're a tzaddik or whether you're a rosha, you're getting it good. We're paying you, right? We're paying you off here. Ben roi, ben she'en roi. Whether you deserve it, you don't deserve it. Kedei shelo yikra togo, so that he shouldn't come with complaints that he was got a raw deal. So therefore, that's the student. That's the student who was punished. And the punishment doesn't help, and then he gets an easy period, right? There's just no punishment, nothing. You can come to class. If you come, you come. You don't come, you don't come. You can come when you, right? If all the other students come at 7 in the morning, you'll come at 9:30, right? Everyone leaves at 1, you leave at 12:15, right? Or 11:45 is even better. So therefore, he has it easy. He comes, he goes to the classes he wants, the classes he doesn't want, he doesn't go. He sits in the canteen, he drinks cold drinks all day. So that is the attitude towards Esav. That was Esav's brocha, that he's going to reach the richness of the world whether he deserves it or not. Pirush, kim Yaakov efshal isnaig b'midasatim, which is to say that with Yaakov they conducted themselves according to the attribute of justice. The heavens conduct with Yaakov, heavens act with Yaakov according to what he deserves. Ki yilm min ha'oinish, because if you punish him, he'll learn. He made a mistake, so let's punish him. He will learn from the mistake and he will profit. The mistake, the punishment is a good thing for Yaakov because it helps him, it guides him. Right? Sometimes that's exactly what children crave, is a bit of direction, boundaries. You know, this you're allowed, this you're not allowed. So therefore, that's it. That gives him he knows what he's allowed to do. He knows what he can't do. Right? You have sometimes parents are very lenient with their children, and their kids just go crazy because they don't know what to do. They don't know how far they can go. You know, there's no bedtime, so when should he come home? I don't know. So maybe he'll stay up later. Parents don't respond, so there's no. That's a miserable child. So therefore, Yaakov is treated with the attribute of justice because he'll learn from the punishment of when he suddenly finds that something's missing from his life, they're not giving him what he needs, so he'll turn towards Hashem, start praying to Hashem. Hashem, please give me what I need. Give me the whatever it is, whether it's the health, whether it's the wealth, whatever it is. Aval Esav im yechsele b'olam hazeh. However, if Esav will be missing in this world, if Esav will have something taken away from him in this world, oid yoisif lehora, he's just going to become more evil. And he will deny Hashem completely. And therefore they act with him in a very merciful way until the very last chance has been passed by, in which case his measure is filled, and then they can reject him. He can be expelled from Hashem's world. That deals with the issue of the Rishoyim. We see wicked people who we see have it very good in this world. Right? That's an explanation for us
why are they being treated differently from us? And we have a working explanation. Next question. Now, some people ask the following question. That is a very big question. The question is that people ask, how come there are people who suffer afflictions not as a punishment? As afflictions as a punishment, where the student will learn from the afflictions, that we understand. But how come there are people who suffer afflictions without, not as a punishment? Not as a punishment. Why are there sometimes a person is born very sickly? A person's born weak and sickly. Some people have inherited sicknesses. Right? He's born in a family where they have a certain sickness, and he gets the same sickness as his parents. Why do the heavens now decree this? Right? You can't say it's a punishment. He hasn't done anything wrong. He comes into the world as a sickly person. So how do we understand that? It's not a punishment. Why should a person suffer when it's not a punishment? Our sages have taught that a person decrees on a person, Hashem decrees on a person before he is formed. Will he be wise or will he be a fool? Yeah, not all of us are on the same level of intelligence. So that's also, how come he's so bright and I'm so dull? If he should be strong or he should be weak. Strong and weak can be physically, it can be emotionally. Some people are emotionally very strong, some emotionally very weak. And intellectually also, the different types of strengths. Whether he'll be healthy or he'll be sickly. Whether he'll be rich or he'll be poor. All of this is decreed. The only thing that is not decreed, whether he'll be righteous or wicked, that's not decreed. But all of the other circumstances of his life are decreed. Just right, whether he'll be tzaddik or rosha, that is up to the person himself. This depends on the free choice of the person himself. And therefore, our question is: okay, leave the other things, wise and rich and all those things. Let's leave that aside. But why should a person be afflicted from the start? Why should a person live a life of pain and suffering? Whereas on other people they have it very comfortable and they have it very easy and it's very enjoyable, everything's fine, no problem. Whereas others, from the beginning they live a life of suffering. However, this question is also an error. This question is also a mistake. We're going to try and explain this idea, even though it's a deep idea, but we're going to try and relate to it in a way that we can. Anyone who looks will see that people are different from each other. And that's amazing. Right? Every single person is totally different from anyone else. Not even from the same family, even siblings. Mm-hmm. Every person is different. Hein mar isom, in their appearance. Hein bekoiches nafsham, in terms of the personality strengths and weaknesses. Hein bekishroi nois sichlam, with their talents, different talents, talents of their intellect. Right? Different types of talents. Right? One person's good with his hands, one person's good with his feet, one good person's good with music, one person is all sorts of different talents. Similarly, in the surroundings in which they're brought up, they're also totally different. Every person is born into a different home, with different surroundings, with different people in his life, different people who influence him. And it's totally different, totally unique. Also, there are differences in terms of the combinations of the different strengths for each person. The Moshul, as an example, Echad Midas Hagaiva Asarachus. For instance, one person, in terms of pride, right, the negative attribute of pride, arrogance, so by him it's 10%. That's his mix. Right? Each person has his own mix of attributes. So by him, let's say arrogance, 10%. Atzlus Chamishasus Achus. Right? His tendency to laziness, 15%. Betaiva, his leanings towards lust, being a lustful, 20%. And so it is with all the different attributes. Positive attributes, negative attributes. He gets a different mix. 20% of this, and 18% of that, and 45% of that, and 2% of that. And each person's whole different mix. And there's a whole range of attributes. There are positive attributes and negative attributes. And these are his problems. These are his issues. The person's got a problem with anger. So that's his problem. It's a real problem. His neighbors don't have it. His friends don't have it. His brothers don't have it. But by him, you know, you step on his toe and he explodes. So, right? So each person's got a totally different build, personality build. And we understand that all of these different character traits all mix in a certain way. Right? Just like an expert cook knows, depends how you mix the ingredients and how much quantity you put of each ingredient is going to affect the taste of the entire dish. So therefore the whole personality comes out different because of the different, it's not just different percentage, it's the whole personality becomes different because of the different mix of traits. A person can be a totally different, another person is a totally different mix. Similarly, it is with the intellectual strengths of a person. Some people have easy understanding, some people are deep thinkers. They know how to think deeply, they know how to contemplate an idea, they can mull over an idea. Some people are very quick, they understand very quickly, they're quick to think. Some people are very good at making calculations, they know how to calculate. Others, you know, hopeless. Azichon, some people have good memories, wonderful memories. You tell him something, he remembers it 20 years later, he remembers exactly what you told him. Right? Other people, you know, you can't remember something 3 minutes. Right? Many different, different, so even in mental capacities, it's not just, you know, good brain, bad brain. It's not, there's all different sections. It's all very complex. And that, again, the different components make up the intellect. So it is with your surroundings, which are going to affect the way you're brought up. Your upbringing is dependent very much on your surroundings, right? There's a kid your age who's a bully, there's a kid your age who's a very very dumb, very arrogant person. Whatever it is, it's all totally unique. Right? Each person's surrounding is also a mix of all sorts of different details which will affect his strengths and his personal strengths and his talents. And that's what our sages have taught. Just like their faces are different, so too their thoughts or their thinking is different. Their approach to life, their whole attitude is different. And that's why we have to be very careful never to judge anyone else, because you're not coming from where they come. You don't see things the way they see things. You say, you know, how could so-and-so do such a stupid thing? Right? He doesn't see, you see from one angle, he sees life from a totally different angle. It's not a correct question to say, you know, why doesn't he think like I think? Can't he understand? Right? It's so simple, right? Can't you understand? So no, you can't understand what he sees it differently. What you think is important, he thinks is not important. Okay, avalama hukach. So, but why is this? Why is it that each one of us? Why is Hashem set up? Right, we know that we're all different, totally different. But why is this so? Lekol bnei adam tachlis achas. Surely all people have the same goal. We're all trying to. We're all working on the same project. Sha'al yedei avdom es Hashem is kulo ilam abo. Through serving Hashem, we'll merit the world to come. We're all given the same task, and yet everyone's got a totally different set of tools. Im kein lama lo yishvu b'achon esem. So why doesn't Hashem not give the same set of tools, the same test to each person? Right? If we're all on the same course, and we all want to reach the same destination, so how come Hashem scatters the circumstances of each person's life to such a degree? Next paragraph. This is the explanation. Chazda Hashem is baruch ein lehem gvul. The kindness of Hashem is without boundary. Afilu chasodav haniglim lonu hem bnuim chesed al gabe chesed an ein shiur. In the obvious kindness of Hashem, the obvious chesed of Hashem is constructed, one kindness on top of another kindness, without measure, the complexity of it, right? The different elements, you know, just something happens in your life, and so many different aspects contributed to making a certain circumstance. Teva choshev. Let's work it out. Hashem Yisborach Emtzeinu Lagil Rum Hamailu. Hashem has presented us with an opportunity to reach the highest of levels. To merit the experience of happiness, which is greater than the entire reality. Hashem has given each one of us an opportunity to reach a happiness which is higher than the entire reality of this world. That would already be enough. If we would all have the same test, we'd all have the same chance of reaching the world to come. Surely that should be enough. But that's not where it stops. Hashem has added to us the opportunity, the possibility, to appreciate this great gift. Sometimes you give a person a very great gift, but he doesn't see the value of it. So he just, you know, ignores it. You just gave him. He doesn't know that it's value. You gave him a check for, right? You gave him a check for $1,000. You know, he put it in his pocket. He forgot about it. You know, some slip of paper. Yeah, what is it? Where did he put it? I don't know. So, Hashem has given us the opportunity to appreciate the great gift He's given us. He's helping us to appreciate. He's given us a great gift, and He's helping us to appreciate it. Matanas chayah, you know, the gift being the gift of the life of the world to come. This is the gift. This is the goal. This is the only goal. This world is only a corridor. It's only a corridor and nothing else. Shebedin anu zoichim behem v'shelon hei mamish. So He's given us the ability to appreciate this gift in a way that we should merit it, and it should be ours. It should be totally our acquisition, totally our achievement. That we should get the reward for our good deeds, which we fought for them against our own inclinations to reach them. This is the challenge that I met. This is the goal that I reached. I once read a story of a man who visited a very, very rich businessman. He met a big CEO. He went to visit this very, very, very hugely wealthy, successful businessman. And he came to his house, and this businessman shows him some garden chairs that he painted. He says, "Look at these chairs that I painted. Didn't I do a great job?" And he was so proud of himself. You know, he had this, you know, multi-millionaire businessman. And, you know, he was feeling chuffed about the chairs that he'd painted. "Look how nicely I painted these chairs. No, good job. What do you think? I could be a good craftsman. What do you think?" So a person has, we take special pleasure in our own, what we did ourselves, what we've done ourselves for ourselves, that we specially appreciate it. Hu me'asher rotzer v'chas l'shelo nagish es tuvei k'matonis chinam. And this is that in Hashem's kindness, He didn't want us to feel that we're just getting a free gift. It's just a handout. A handout, you're embarrassed about trying a handout, right? Here's your handout. Elayin amlon, it should be pleasant to us. Oid yoi sebiadanu kishilonu, right? It should be especially pleasant to us that we know it's ours, it's something that's unique to me, that I have done for myself, that I've built for myself, that I've reached myself. And therefore, there's a special pleasantness, a special pleasure that comes from it. Now that certainly should be enough for us. We're not yet finished. Please God, we'll go on with this in the next class.